Mary's Song. Really, the title, that kind of summarizes what we find in part of our message today, but the title could also be, How Will You Respond? Or A Story of Response. That could be our title as well, either one of those. That's going to bother me, but now I got it straight. Luke 1, 39 to 56 is our text today. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. And of course, as we continually mention and are reminded of during the season of Advent, we are look back at Jesus' first Advent, the first time he came to this earth, was incarnated into human form, became a man and lived his life. And we look ahead to the second Advent when he will come again to bring justice and peace to the world and restore all things. And so we look back and we look ahead. The last 2 weeks, we have heard from John the Baptist, and we've heard he's the one who was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, of the one who would come to save his people. So we've heard about him and from him, and we actually hear from him, from John, again today in a little bit different form, so we'll see how that comes. But we have him in today's text as well. As we're near the beginning of Luke here, the book of Luke, it's a good idea to just see where we have been, not in as we've been looking at it here Sunday morning, but where Luke has been bringing us along as he arrived at this point of telling Jesus' story. Very familiar stories to us, very familiar things. Zechariah in the temple, going into the temple to burn incense, part of his job as a priest, and an angel appeared to him and said, your wife, Elizabeth, will have a son, even though you are old, you're both old and past what would normally be expected as childbearing years, she will have a son, and you will name him John, and he will be dedicated to God and to proclaiming things for God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the womb. And we might hang on to that expression here as we get to today's text and be reminded of it. And he's going to prepare people to receive the Lord. That's what this baby will do, that your wife will bear. That's what the angel said to Zechariah regarding his wife Elizabeth and the baby to be born. Then we had, after that, Luke takes us to Mary, who is visited by the angel, the same angel, Gabriel, around the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She got pregnant, and she was with the child. And now during that sixth month of pregnancy, the angel visits Mary and says, you will have a son, and you will name him Jesus. You'll be this, and a few different descriptions of who he is and what he will do. You'll be the Son of God. He will have an eternal kingdom. And, you know, Mary wonders, you know, she has no husband yet. How will this happen? And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and he will cause you to conceive. And this baby will be the Son of God. So wonderful announcement. And two of them really together. But of course, the second one is the greater one. We have the Son of God coming into the world. And Mary's response to that is, I am the Lord's servant. And humbly she accepts the role given to her. And so now, in today's text, we have Mary going to visit Elizabeth. As we find out, they are relatives, and she goes to visit Elizabeth. And what we have in our text today is an accounting of what happened, a bit of what happened at the beginning of that visit in her time there. So Luke 1, 39 to 56 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning, as you are able. Luke 1, 39 to 56, reading in Jesus' name. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. Thank you for this announcement that has come to Mary of the son that she would bear that would be really for all of us. And he would serve all of us in his life. And as we think about her response to that and this visit to Elizabeth and what that has for us, I just ask that you would guide us in that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite the kids to come up this morning. Any that would like to come up to the front? All right. Oh, go have a seat. Oh, we'll see. Yep. All right. Okay. So take a look at this picture here. What do you see in this picture here? Hey, what do you guys see? What do you guys see in this picture?
Mary, you see that? And Joseph.
That's Mary. Mary is one of them. Who's the other one? Do you know? Joseph. Elizabeth.
That's
Elizabeth. All right. I'll come over this way. Yeah. You can see over here. You guys can have a seat over here, and I'll come over this way too. Do you see that? Yeah, there's a bird in there too, but we're not really, I don't know, the bird just happened to be there.
A tree.
And a tree, yeah, yeah. But we're thinking about Mary and Elizabeth. Who can tell me, were you listening? What is happening with both Mary and Elizabeth?
They're having a baby.
Both of them are, right? Both of them are going to have a baby, right? Which one's first?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth's baby is first. And what is Elizabeth's baby going to do when he gets bigger? He's going to be a prophet. And what is his job going to be? Each prophet that came, they had different things. He's going to let people know about Jesus. And who, where is Jesus? You know, where is he? In Mary, right? Right, that's Mary's baby is Jesus. So Elizabeth's baby is going to tell people about Mary's baby, Jesus. Do you think, did you listen to what happened today? Do you think that Elizabeth's baby recognized Jesus already? Do you know? Did you listen? Listen again. We'll talk about it a little bit, and you guys can listen. Now, the words that are on the side here that you guys are listening for, some of them are the same as we had last week. Because we have John the Baptist again. I'm going to mention him. We have a prophet. There's a promise. So some of those are the same words. So I want to invite you to listen for those. Here, could you hand those out? And could you hand those out for me? You can go over and hand out to this side. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your seats. All right. All right. All right. There they go. All right. Well, we get... Oh, you have a few extras there? You can take them back with you if you want. Oh, right here for me. There you go. All right. All right. Well, Elizabeth, as I said, was a relative of Mary. And Gabriel even told her, as he made the announcement, he told Mary about Elizabeth and about her baby that was miraculous, not in the same way, but miraculous nonetheless, which actually, there's a history of that in the Bible. We think about Sarah. We think about Rebecca in the Old Testament, and Rachel as well, some of those first mothers in the line of the Savior, of Jesus, were there was miraculous birth involved all along. Now again, Elizabeth was going to have a baby in older age, Mary now, a miraculous, truly miraculous birth. And so Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And we find that if we listen to what it says about the times here, it was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and then Mary stayed about 3 months. So basically, Mary stayed with her until just before John was born. And then, very sensibly, not probably looking for all the commotion that was going to be around as John was born, Mary went back to her home. So she left and went back at that time. Now, this is an interesting encounter that we have here. And as first as we consider it, we're going to think about, what's going on in this situation and how God is working. And then we really do want to find out, what does this say to us as well? Because remember, we're not looking just at historical facts and what happened, but we want to know God is speaking to us too. And so we're going to look at that as well. But as we get here at first, let's look at this encounter that we have here. It mentions, Mary entering Zechariah's home because, that he would be the head of the household, so she enters his home. But Elizabeth is the one that she has come to see. And she greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth hears her greeting, and then, kind of a miraculous thing as well, John responds. The baby John the Baptist, that we later know him as, he responds. And maybe we might say here we have a baby prophet. Can we call John the baby prophet at this point? He responds to the voice of the mother of the Savior. John, as we know later on, who comes proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, and we hear some of his words. We know the story already. And so as we hear about John the Baptist here, we might think of some of the words that John later said, for example, pointing to Jesus and saying, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We hear John's words. Other words that John said as he pointed out to or announced the coming of Jesus, and he said, "The one who comes after me is greater than me because he was before me." And even though Jesus, as we find, he's born later than John. John is even born before Jesus. He begins his ministry before Jesus, but the one who comes after is greater. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, John, the baby prophet, recognizes this. And John later on is the one who also preaches, "Repent. Come to God. Repent of your sins. He will save you." And John is doing that, bringing people to him. Well, now, Elizabeth responds to the movement of the baby in her womb. Now, you will clearly know, I've never experienced the movement of a baby in the womb directly. Those of you who have had babies have experienced that. I don't know what that's like. You do. And you might be asking, if you have experienced that, you might be asking, was this different than some other movement of a baby in her womb? I don't know. I don't know how she identified that. Or maybe she simply interpreted it by the working of the Holy Spirit to recognize what this was. But remember, as I mentioned earlier, Zechariah was told that the baby that Elizabeth would have would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. So Elizabeth understands there's something miraculous going on here. Her baby is recognizing already the Savior who he will later announce as he is an adult. He will announce his coming, his arrival. And filled with the Holy Spirit, she recognized this movement as really a special movement of the baby, recognizing Mary's baby. Wow, so amazing, isn't it? That God was working even in such a strange way, really, through a baby prophet. Never would have guessed that. Elizabeth then responds, also filled with the Holy Spirit. "Blessed is the child that you will bear." She recognizing this baby movement, interpreting it correctly, interpreting the meaning of it. And then even beyond that, recognizing, being filled by the Holy Spirit, continuing the message that Gabriel had given to Mary. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth is blessed to have uncommon knowledge about what is going on here. She knows who this baby is that Mary will have. "The mother of my Lord." As we find, if we look at You know, Lord can be used in different ways. And even in that world, Lord could simply be the master of something. You know, so it doesn't necessarily refer to God. But as Luke was writing this, every instance of his use of the word Lord up until this point has only been applied to God. And as we find Mary, as we find Elizabeth using that in this phrase, I think we can correctly interpret it to be that Luke understands that Elizabeth, as she is speaking, is talking about Mary as bearing a baby who is God. The mother of my Lord is the way she says it. Psalm 110, David speaks saying, "The Lord says to my Lord," and the Lord being God the Father, says to my Lord, we find that he's referring to the Messiah. And Elizabeth uses it in the same way, in this way. So we have this picture already from Luke transferred to us from what Elizabeth was saying, God is coming. The angel Gabriel had already announced some of what would happen to Mary, and now Elizabeth repeats this. The Son of God is coming, the Savior is coming, the everlasting King. That's what the angel said. And now again we have my Lord, as Elizabeth says this, God, the Messiah. And then she finishes, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. This is really the hallmark of true faith. Not something worked up within ourselves to trust something that we can't see, although it is trusting in something that we can't see, but the real foundation of it is trusting that the promises of God are good, that we can rely on the promises of God. At Mary's greeting, John responded. Baby prophet John responded. Elizabeth, his mother, responded. And at Elizabeth's words, now accompanying the angel's words, adding to repeating the angel's words, now Mary responds. And this is some of the response that we have in our text today. Mary responds, a song of praise, a song of praise to God. She is blessed, yes, as Elizabeth said, but it's not about her. It's about God. And so she will glorify God. And she responds in this way, first for herself, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She thanks God and praises him for the way that he has blessed her for herself, but it goes beyond herself. And she says that all generations will call her blessed. And again, not because of who she is, but for a particular reason that comes from God, bearing the Savior of the world. So that's in particular for Mary. That's the way she was in particularly blessed, bearing this precious, special baby. But then there are also other ways that she recognizes how she's blessed, but those are also ways that can be transferred to the rest of us as well. As she talks about the Mighty One having done great things for her. Now, for her, that specifically means she gets to bear the Savior of the world. But also, all of the other great things that God has done for his people. And also, mindful of her humble state. Oh, that's true of any of us, right? Anything that God does for us is coming to us in our humble state. We have nothing to give to him, only what he gives to us. God, my Savior, she says. That's who he is to us as well. Holy is his name. Then, second, beyond herself, also for people more broadly, for those who fear him. For those who fear him, who honor him, who acknowledge who he is, his mercy extends to them. Anyone who would acknowledge who God is and what he has done and trust in that, his mercy extends to them from generation to generation. It's just a way to say, for everyone, this is there. Looking at the past, he has performed mighty deeds, she says. Scattered those who are proud in thoughts, and then if we jump down to that, brought down rulers and then sent rich away empty. Sent the rich away empty. And really, what it's not simply because the rich are somehow all of a sudden bad, but acknowledging that many times riches are accompanying evil, and those who are poor are the ones who are, you know, trusting in God in some way. They're humbled and they can trust God. So he has brought down those who are proud in their thoughts, brought down rulers, and contrasting that then with lifting up the humble, filling the hungry with good things. Those who are satisfied with themselves, he shuts them down. But those who recognize their need for God, he raises up with himself. And then, beyond people generally, Mary goes then to God's chosen people. Thirdly, to God's chosen people, which also really extends to everyone. But she says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. God has remembered his promise to send the Messiah, to send the Savior of the world, who would save his people through all of the centuries that they have been plagued by being attacked and destroyed and brought down for their own sin and rebelliousness, which is the same for us. But he has remembered them to come and save them. And again, this is really a promise for everyone, because the Messiah, the Jewish Savior Messiah, is for all of us. It's for every one of us. Well, we've been focusing here, as I said, on responses. It's a story of responses. Mary calls out. John and Elizabeth both respond. Gabriel, John, he doesn't exactly speak, but Gabriel and Elizabeth speak. We hear their words. John, you know, he communicates in his way as the baby prophet. And as they speak and Mary hears the words, Mary then responds. And we've heard from her response. And we might ask the question then, as I said, what about us? Because, as I said, a sermon is not really about them and historical facts and what happened. It's about us. The question is there something that we hear? Do we hear something from God? Do we hear a call? Do we hear a word from Him? The reality is that we need one. We need to hear from Him. We might not always feel like it. Things are going well. But when things aren't, we recognize it. We recognize that we need to hear from Him. Has anyone ever felt humbled? Does anyone ever feel that way? Have you felt that way? Recognizing that you need a Savior? That you don't like parts, at least, of who you are as you interact with people, as you do things that you wish you wouldn't do, and as you experience things in life that you wish you wouldn't have to experience? Even just the troubles of a cold, of getting sick, of maybe even worse sickness than that. Do we recognize that we need a Savior, that we need God to remember us? Are we looking for His promise? In the Advent season, we really focus on the promises that God gives. The promises looking back, as God promised to send a Savior, as God promises still now to come back again and fix the world, to restore all things. God has helped servant Israel, Abraham and his descendants, just as he has promised. So we look back and we see those promises made and then kept as God kept his promises. As John announced Jesus coming later on, Jesus fulfilled those promises of God. Jesus is mindful of our humble state. He entered our world. He became human. He lived among us. And as sure as that is true, Jesus will remember again his promises to come again, to return and reconcile the world to himself. Do you hear that call from him? Do you hear his words? Do you hear his greeting, his invitation? He is merciful to those who fear him, who trust in his promises. He will come again. He will restore everything good. He will reign forever. in our need for a Savior, in our need for God to reach into our world and call us to Himself. He has called out to us through His Son, Jesus, as He says, "Come to me. Come to me, and I will save you. Trust in me." Will you respond with Mary, along with Mary in her song, believing that the Lord will fulfill His promises to you? The invitation is there. Listen to Mary's words. Listen to Elizabeth's words, to the angel's words, even to baby prophet John and his reaction to the coming of the Savior. Listen to those. He is here for you. He has come for you, and He will come again. We can trust in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that in your love, you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you that Elizabeth and John and Mary recognized the way that you were working through them, through Mary's baby, who is also your son, Jesus, that you were working through him for us. Thank you that they recognized and that their words and their actions were passed on to us through Luke, who you inspired to pass those words on to us. That we get to hear and that we get to respond. I ask that you would help us to respond in trust and faith that you will work as you promised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.